Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and health care. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Everybody. It is Friday. Good evening, everybody. It's 6:38 p.m. Friday, May the 8th. Everybody, I'm glad everybody's here. This was a special show. Why? Because we need to get something straight with this unbelievable going-ons here in this United States of America. Good evening, Mr. Fortenberry. How are you, sir?
How are you?
Well, did you have enough?
You're surviving the pandemic?
I didn't start mine yet.
Right?
Because I'm gonna have a drink today.
He keeps saying it's over. I keep seeing people in the streets marching around with their AK-47 saying it's over. So I guess it's over.
But the AK-47s, they're just using them to because they forgot their jack and they lift up the tires a little bit. With that, when they have flat tires. Because, you know,
I thought they were
made
to stop the virus.
Shield. Yeah. Well,
the virus has come over the hills.
That's when they come over the hills, you got to be ready. Because they come over in waves.
Yes. And if you don't watch out, they will overrun the trailer park before your clip runs out. So you gotta shoot fast and early.
Oh, man. You know, I didn't think about that. I didn't think they'd overrun the trailer park. Do you know what is going on? We got fear, corruption, obsession, retaliation, death. Well,
we haven't even got to the venal sins yet. I mean, covering the basics.
We obstruction of justice. And that's all done by the U.S. government, by the Attorney General.
I have to tell you, I'm having trouble keeping up.
I mean, it's coming in fast and furious. It's coming in fast and furious. We have, across this country, we got people going absolutely batshit. I mean, that's the only word I can think about it. You got that talking about trailer park. Who the hell are these two cops? They ain't turning the trailer park. They're outside the trailer park. The trailer park is afraid of them.
Yeah.
Who killed that jogger? Mind his own business, taking a jog, and they hung him. No, they didn't shoot him. They hung him. Because that's the same thing as being hung. Same thing as being hung.
Yeah.
They went out and got,
and I mean,
we haven't got one
not,
of them.
Not only did they just randomly shoot him going out. They hunted the guy. They chased him down in cars.
Unbelievable.
You know, I mean.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
And the thing is that the daggone prosecutors, they would. How many did you say they went through? We were talking about this before. They went through three prosecutors.
The article I read, they went through three different ones that were, you know, recusing themselves or whatever, you know, because, hey, look, he's white too. I can't do anything, you know. So they finally got bumped up, I think only because of national outrage. I don't think anything local did it, but it finally got bumped up to a level where they have now charged the son with murder, and the father they're holding pending the further
investigation. Father and son charged in fatal shooting of unarmed Georgia man.
Yep.
I know the son
has got a murder charge. I think the father, I don't think they charged him yet.
Yeah. Well,
he's the one that was an ex-cop or something, right?
But both of them are ex-cops.
Oh, both of them. Oh, okay.
Both of them. The father is like, what? But, hey, I understand the father looks old. Maybe he retired or got fired or something. But what about the son? Why is he still a cop? The son,
yeah, right.
We need to look up about him.
But you know, that's one of those it's one of those old Southern counties where the police department is kind of like a clan. You know what I mean? So.
Oh,
yeah.
You mean kind of like is a clan? Kind of like is a clan? What county did this take place in, Georgia? You remember?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look it up again. I didn't even pay attention to it.
One of them small little one horse town counties, or one of the big horse town counties?
Well, you know, look, to be fair, I mean, you and I have been doing this for years. This stuff is happening all the time. The difference here is that somebody caught it on camera. If it weren't for that, we wouldn't be talking about this.
He's the other person. He's the other person that they were looking for, or they got him already. He's wanted for the crime, too. I mean, I guess
I was curious about that because they said he was filming it, but then it sounds like, you know, was he filming it for, you know, a joke or a laugh or something? What was going on there?
Yeah,
why
I guess he was filming for a joke and a laugh. He's part of the three, the gruesome threesome. They want him.
They can go back to the the meeting and show it later, I guess.
Right. I guess that was because I heard this morning, the last night when I heard about it, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, that they didn't know who it was. Now they found out who it was, and they were looking for him because he's part of the group or clan that was out hunting this kid.
Yeah, I can't believe it, though. I'm glad they finally are acting, though.
Yeah, so I think they got him already. I know they were looking for him, but I think I heard something that they got him already because how did they get the film? How did they get this tape?
Right. Yeah, that is another thing we ought to look into is how was it released? Was it just in private social media and got spread, or was it released to a paper secretly, or something? You know, what happened? We need to look into it. Find out.
Well, that seems to show you how stupid they were having somebody film it. I mean, what are you kidding me? Well, I guess they figured, hey, we got the
CF,
we got the old boy. We got the old boy in charge of the federal government. Now, we don't need to worry about anything. Old boy's filming it for us.
Yep. Let me go.
Unbelievable. They went out and hung somebody because forget bullets, they hung them.
As the old saying goes, it was a
high tech lynching. That's what the old boy in the Supreme Court said. High tech lynching.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. It was a high tech lynching.
Well, it doesn't matter what weapon you use to kill them with.
That's
don't do that.
High tech lynching.
My dog got very excited about that. He was. He couldn't handle it. So they're lynching him, Danny. They're lynching him.
He threw the cat on the ground, or the cat threw him on the ground? Which one is it?
They're wrestling.
Oh, they're wrestling, huh? Well, and now we got this clown who's still in the White House. Well, I hope someday he's in an orange jumpsuit. Says that, we ain't finished yet.
Pan.
That's right. The match is right. Black and orange. We're still out, and we got some more people to get. Like Chris Ray, who's the head. Yeah, we're gonna get him too. He's the head of the FBI, but we got rid of the FBI people before. He needs to go because he knows the truth. And we need to go. We need to get that tall, lean guy, Comey. We need to get him. I mean, he was starting out before, but we're going to get him. And we need to get that other guy, a tall guy, who was on the vice chair of the vice attorney general, Rosenstein. We need to get him too, because he's all part of the old group.
Yeah.
And of course, we're gonna get that guy that's running against me. We're gonna get that guy because we tried to get him with that false story about him being in cahoots with those foreigners over there, stealing money. He said, but we're gonna get them. But and you know who we really want to get? I really want to get that man who's out of office right now. That old guy. Yeah, we want to do a high tech lynching on him.
Yeah.
That guy Hussein. Who say we really want to get him? That's what we want to get.
got a terrorist.
We're not finished with them yet. We're going to get all these people who were against me, all these people laughing at me before I ran for president. They all laughed at me. We're going to see them all. We're going to change this federal government. It's the Trump government. It ain't the U.S. government. It's the Trump government. That's what it's going to be. That's who we're going to get. The Trump. It's going to be the Trump government. Ain't nobody can mess with us. We do whatever the heck we please. Well, it's not completely the Trump government. It's the Putin Trump government. It's the Putin Trump government. Maybe he'll let me put my name at the end. Maybe it won't be. Maybe I get a little dash there, like the Putin dash Trump government. Well, maybe it might just be the Putin government, and I just might have to be vice chair. I mean, because I don't know how he want to run yet. I haven't talked to him since yesterday. That's what they're saying. Hmm. I mean, it's really that bad.
Hey, by the way, Mike.
Yeah.
Not to jump off of the endless attack on, you know, her emails and that Barack guy, but I just was looking it up. Because I went down to Georgia real quick, you know, while
you were
ranting up in Washington. I went down to Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
right,
you know, Georgia was on my mind. And I looked it up, and it said that so after been all these weeks doing nothing, there have been 3 months of doing nothing. But after all of that, they said when it came to the third prosecutor and public heat started getting on, that on Wednesday they called the Georgia Bureau of Investigation into the case. And the director, Vic Reynolds, the GBI director, says,
yeah,
I can't answer for what another agency did or didn't see, but I can tell you that based on our involvement on this case, when we came in Wednesday morning, that within 36 hours, I've secured warrants for two individuals for felony murder, and we're reviewing third. So they said as soon as they saw the video, it was compelling evidence and extremely exciting, he said. So I like how he says that. I don't know what other agencies did or didn't see.
We did. That's right. That's right.
I mean, they've already got these guys arrested, charged with murder, and it's been 2 days. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, if we got to
worry about all these other guys, you know, standing around recusing themselves around the trailer park.
Now,
I didn't see anything. You see anything, Bob?
They did see this video, didn't they? They did see this video. Well, you know,
the large wall.
Listen, you know what the man in the orange man in the White House says? Hey, don't believe everything you hear and see. But it ain't
true. That's true. Hey, but you know, this is a guy who, speaking of Trump, I mean, you never know. They've charged this guy with the murder, but Trump could just pop right back over and pardon everybody because, you know, he's already done it with a war criminal, a guy who tortured and raped children in Iraq.
Wait a minute.
He doesn't have any standards.
Are you saying that's possible? Are you saying
it's Trump a stand? He is the government.
Trumpistan, right. Trumpistan. I forgot.
You're probably thinking of that old country, the USA. You know, that's old time. This is now Trumpistan.
Oh, man. Well, listen,
the leader.
Just listen. You're right. This is what Nicole Wallace said. Listen to this. She said this today.
Unlike Barr, the president didn't even try to spin the motivation behind yesterday's action and today's tweet to completely erase Robert Mueller's probe into the Russian attack on our democracy in 2016.
If Bill Barr was your first attorney general, would there have been a Mueller probe and a Russia hoax?
No, there wouldn't be. He would have stopped it immediately. He saw it immediately. He would have seen it immediately.
Just pause on this for a minute. If Barr were attorney general, we would not have investigated Russia's attack on our democracy. Add that to your Wikipedia page, Mr. AG. The New York Times on yesterday's unprecedented move to drop the Flynn case, quote, in dropping the charges, law enforcement officials abandoned the stance of the career prosecutors who have been on the case, who had argued that Mr. Flynn's conversations with the Russian ambassador to the United States at the time, Sergey Kislyak, quote, went to the heart of the FBI's Trump-Russia investigation. Washington Post adds this reporting, quote, it is highly unusual for the Justice Department to seek to undo a guilty plea and comes just months after Attorney General William Barr pressed prosecutors in another of Mueller's cases to soften their sentencing recommendation for the president's friend and former political advisor, Roger Stone. Now all eyes turn to Judge Emmett Sullivan. He's the federal judge who will have to rule on whether to green light the DOJ position that the Flynn case be dismissed.
Did that say it or what?
So if Barr had been in power to begin with, we wouldn't even have justice in this country at all. Zero.
We would not have known about anything with the Russians.
Let's think just for a second, their position that, you know, nothing happened, right? But even then, at least in a functional democracy, with legal departments going on, you would follow the president by investigating an accusation or investigating a problem. You wouldn't just say no investigation. You would reach a conclusion, and then you would say it did or did not occur. But you wouldn't just have no investigation.
No. I mean, Comey would have been there one day, and the next day he wouldn't have been. And we wouldn't even know why. It wouldn't come up. Who's Comey? Comey? Never heard of him. Who's he? He'd been gone. Oof. Gone just like that. So isn't that what happens in Russia? Where you have somebody in charge of something, and the next day, who? Doesn't that happen?
Well, you know, it's like those doctors who went on the press and were complaining about the lack of we'll say, transparency coming from Putin about the pandemic in Russia. And then the next day they accidentally fell out of the window of the hospital. You remember that? Three different doctors all fell out of the hospital window. That's pretty interesting.
Hey, give me a break. Why are those windows open? Oh, they weren't open. There were never any windows there. It was just an open space.
Hey, you don't have to have investigations when there's no accusation. No, comrade. You know.
I mean, hey, and then what you get is you get a guy like Neil Katyal. And they say, who? Neil Katyal. Used to be Solicitor General. This is what he said.
Yeah, so, you know, Michael Flynn pled guilty twice in open court to these offenses. And what the Justice Department did yesterday was they said basically, well, don't pay attention to all of that. And yes, Michael Flynn lied, but boy, the prosecutors did something wrong here. The investigators did something wrong. And they can't defend in this long memo that they filed yesterday what Michael Flynn did. He lied. He lied to the FBI. He lied to the vice president, and he admitted all this in open court. So instead, what they've done is they've decided to blame the prosecutors. It's kind of like they're like, you know, Johnny Cochran or something. You know, if the lie fits, you must acquit or something like that. So the Justice Department sounds like basically a bunch of defense attorneys. That's, of course, not the role of the department, and particularly not in a circumstance in which the person is pled guilty, as he has twice, represented by good counsel and the like. And that is why the Justice Department today is so demoralized. I've been talking to person after person last night and today who were there, and they are beside themselves because, you know, we've seen a lot of threats to the rule of law over the last 3 years, but this kind of encapsulates it all. It's the purest form of basically, if you're the president's pal, there's one kind of justice for you. And if you're someone else, either a two-bit person or the president's enemy, there's something different that you face.
Neil Katyal, talk about what it's like to remove yourself from a case that you've spent, I guess in the case of Flynn, he was charged years ago. Working on my sense, having worked in the White House, is that when something is so acute, so bad that it seeps into public view from DOJ, there's usually more under the surface. What's going on among the career prosecutors there?
Yeah, so here Brandon Van Grack, who's a very well-respected prosecutor, withdrew just moments before the Justice Department's decision yesterday. And that mirrors what happened before with Roger Stone when the president ordered a sweetheart deal for him, or what looks like an order, and then those career prosecutors resigned as well. That is the most momentous action you can take as a Justice Department attorney. I never saw it during my time there. I think it's been rarely seen over the last 70, 80 years. But President Trump has managed to do it time and again. And frankly, I think Barr is hoping that these people leave. He's hoping people with a conscience who know the traditions of the department are going to, you know, are going to just resign in protest so he can fill them with lackeys of his choice. And, you know, these are, frankly, thugs who are running the Justice Department right now. And it is a real threat to the rule of law. And Barr's counting on the fact that his thuggery is going to work. And I have bad news for him. After all these conversations yesterday and today, I think the women and men of the Justice Department are a lot stronger than this. And yeah, it's true, they've never faced anything like this before, just like we haven't faced anything like the health crisis and the pandemic. But the traditions of the department and the DNA of the department is so strong. And just like our country is strong enough to survive Trump's misadventures on the pandemic, I think the Justice Department is strong enough to survive this, but it is not going to be pretty. It is ugly over there.
I mean, can you believe that? He thinks that I will pull so much smoke that they'll all quit. Are you kidding me?
And I mean, this is a Solicitor General who is saying that thugs are destroying the rule of law in America. That's not hyperbolic, you know, made-up stuff from a comedian on TV or something. That's a former official, and it's pretty damning.
A comedian couldn't. You would never even believe. You just laugh at it. You'd think it would be such a Drake joke. How can it be true? This what was that? You gotta laugh to keep from crying. I mean, is that the old story? Laugh to keep from crying. I mean, this is just outrageous that they would do such things. And there are so many. What is the story about the Republican Party that has gone down this far? Is it because they're looking at the handwriting on the wall, seeing that in about the next two cycles, they'll probably never get another Democratic, a Republican president? Is that what, are they seeing that?
It may be that bad. I mean, I thought, you know, they still had a little bit of a, you know, game in them. But they may have realized that they are going to have to go for broke because it seems, at least, you know, Trump doesn't surprise me doing this, but it is surprising to see the Republicans go along with it. But it started with the courts, and now it's spreading everywhere. But he's basically creating a purge of everything, every department. And I guess that's what the guy was talking about.
Well, but
he's
see,
trying to
I
do
remember,
with the
I remember
court system.
You said something to me when we first met. You said, the Republican Party is going to take over, not right away. They're going to go through the school system. Then they're going to go to the city council. Then they're going to go to the county commissioners. Then they're going to go to the states, the state courts.
And you used to, do you remember, you used to laugh at me?
Yes. I said, ain't no way. Time to do all that. We'll be dead. Yeah, but they'll be dead too, but they don't care because they don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about the rule of law. All they care about, what can I get, and can I get it now? And I said, please, Tyler, you just dream. Must be the what's he drinking? Jesus, believe it. I couldn't believe it. And now they got this hillbilly girl. Well, she's not as hillbilly as the first hillbilly girl we had in there. We got this daggone ratty blonde hair, Fox News. I don't know what you'd call her, Fox News squawker, as the spokesperson for the White House in there now. She don't say nothing. Every single thing she says is written down, and if you don't ask her a question that is, you got to look at it. If you don't ask her a question that is really already written someplace, she's going to look down at her notes first before she answers your question, because she is completely a mouthpiece.
Well, it's 100% propaganda. There's no, you know, I'm sure it all comes from, what's the guy's name, Himmler? I can't remember his name. But Stephen, you know, whatever his name is.
Yeah, right.
That one.
I mean, look, you got propaganda. Everybody in the last year or so hired into the White House has all come from Fox News. So it's just a propaganda channel. They're all just mouthpieces.
So they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, none of them do. But you've got, you know, Twitler over there on, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning blathering on about how he hates, you know, TV news and talk show hosts and models and everybody else. And then you've got all the actual work being done by, you know, Kushner and his daughter wife thing, whatever she is.
Right.
But they do the day-to-day stuff. Like, you know, you see them at all the meetings and all the everything. You know, they're doing the day-to-day business because he doesn't even show up till noon. You know, they admitted that lately. He shows up with a hamburger and, you know, watches TV for 6 hours. But so you've got them, you know, Twitler doesn't even do anything. Twitler just sits there as a mouthpiece and blathers on about hate. But if you look, you know, who's the actual people who always keep their head down? And you always see the same names reappearing. You know, there's a few people that have been there since the beginning. It's kind of like the band and you know, those kind of people.
You have a few thinkers.
But here's the thing. All of them are connected in two places. They're all connected to the right wing white power movement of the neo-Nazis, right?
Right.
Then they also all seem to somehow be connected directly to Putin. They all have jobs in Putin. They all have jobs over in there. They're all working for a oligarch.
You mean there's something wrong with that? You mean there's something wrong with that?
So my point is, though, that they are the quote unquote thinkers of the administration. I think all of the actual substance is coming from, you know, overseas, we'll say. Provided all the materials, and then they just, you know, slice it up and hand it to, you know, Twitler so he can tweet about it. But none of those people, I mean, you look at Trump for years, he hasn't been able to answer anything that isn't right on his path. And if anybody asks him anything, he starts screaming, you know, you're nasty, you're dirty, reporter, you know, you're false, you know, fake news guy, you know. Because you can't even ask him anything if it's not directly what he's already talking about and on message about. So, I mean, this whole administration runs on that. That's all they are is propaganda from day light to day night.
Here's the other thing. They don't care what they're doing right now. The people who are really knowledgeable, and not the daggone Kushners with his five little boys running his supposedly the security of the country. Not the people who have been in the Republican Party, they're now trying to grab everything that they can. I'm talking about money. They're trying to grab every stitch of money that they can to put in their portfolio, and then you'll watch them jump ship like dogs before the election.
Oh, yeah.
Jump ship.
Well, look, one thing that is still a mystery to me, you know, you remember when the pandemic came out and people started to realize, you know, at first everything was just hunky-dory. Everybody was just like, oh, I get to stay home and watch Netflix. This is great, you know. And then about 2 or 3 weeks in, two things happened. One, people started actually dying and the numbers started going up. And they went, oh, it's real, you know. And then two, they started to notice things like, wait a minute, when the whole country isn't working, there's no economy. Gasp. You know? And so you started seeing all the companies everywhere were panicking, right? And everything started going spiraling then. And what happened right after that? You know, they don't even talk about this. I mean, a little bit came out about the debate over what are we going to do to bail out everybody in the pandemic, you know? Oh, boy, should we give people 25 cents or 27 cents? You know, they had that whole debate going on for a while, and everybody was, like, you know, engaged in it. And they still talk about, oh, I got my, you know, $1,000 check. Did you get yours? You know, as if it was something. But people don't even realize before any of that, the week before now, this administration shuffled $6 trillion with a T, dollars into Wall Street, into the hedge funds, into the banks, everything else, saying, oh, we're going to prop them up before the pandemic hits and gets bad, so everybody's got money. They just handed it to them, and it's not even been reported. They don't talk about it. It's just nothing to see here. But that is exactly what you're talking about. They're handing each other money and high-fiving each other.
Unbelievable. But you're right. You're absolutely correct. It's just criminal behavior. It's criminal behavior.
Well, it is. But, you know, the part that infuriates me is they are still, I mean, this has been going on 40 years of my life, and, you know, Reagan was a master of it, but I'm tired of it already, and I just can't believe that everybody still falls for it, because as they're sitting there literally shoveling $6 trillion onto themselves on hedge funds and, you know, partying on Wall Street, they at the same time are going, oh, we can't afford unemployment. Oh, we can't afford to give people health care. And, oh, Lordy, we can't afford to give people food stamps. Cut them back. You got to cut them back. Come on, governors. Cut, you know. And they act like there's no money. And,
you know,
a fraction of the trillions could have paid everybody. Everybody in America could be a millionaire, literally. We could have given every single person in America $1 million cold, and it would have been half the cost of what they gave to the bankers on one Tuesday afternoon.
Unbelievable. Well, you know,
just saying. You know.
It's criminal. It's criminal. That's not saying it's criminal. It's criminal. And when are people who voted for this moron, and we won't find one person, that week before Election Day, we won't, because this man will not be reelected by killing over 100,000 people and by putting us in worse depression than the depression.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're already at the bottom of the depression levels, and it's only increasing right now. So it's
and we ain't started yet. And it's only been 3 months. It's only been 3 months. And we're worse than the depression.
That's not, Mike, you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about we had already reached the level of the Vietnam War.
Right.
You know, that was a couple of weeks ago. We've already surpassed the wartime casualties of every war in America except for World War II and the Civil War. And the Civil War is only in there because we were shooting each other, two sides, you know, so we got double casualties. But those are the only wars in the entire history of the country that have had more deaths, and people forget. Those lasted for years and years and years. We're talking about 2 months.
I mean, it's outrageous. It is outrageous. This man.
And that's what I don't understand, where there is no outrage on the right. Because, like you just said a minute ago, we're already at depression level unemployment. Okay? The depression lasted for 10 years to reach that level. That is 10 years of economic decline to reach that level. We have reached that in freaking 60 days. People, I mean, are they dim? Do they not understand? It's like This is catastrophic. This is like a nuclear bomb going off in the middle.
You know what the people are saying about Mr.
I'm laughing at the superior intellect.
That's what they're saying.
James Tiberius Kirk.
Even James Tiberius Kirk even knows it. He hasn't been born yet. I mean, it's outrageous.
He hasn't been born yet, and he already knows it.
He already knows it. This is just insane. It is just insane. And the thing that makes it worse, is that we have people out here. I'll try to get a hold of my next door neighbor, Mr. Ned, who cried to me a month ago. Calls me up 11 o'clock at night. Mike, Ned, what do you want? What are we going to do? I said, what are we going to do? You didn't ask me what we were going to do when President Obama was president, because you knew what you were doing. You were getting filthy rich.
Uh-huh.
But now I can't go anywhere because he can't cook.
It's hard to get takeout every day of your life when, you know, the entire country.
When they're not open. Well, listen, Mr. Stephen Schmidt, which who I love. This is what Stephen Schmidt says about this.
Steve Schmidt, good to see you, sir. Let's start with the superficial, then we'll turn to all the stories. You have changed your home location. I see a beautiful kitchen instead of your beautiful bar.
We have the kitchen in the background, yes, sir.
Well, all I can say is I'm excited to see what you're cooking up, rhetorically. You have worked on campaigns, and in fairness to any candidate in a campaign, stories come out in the Post and elsewhere that you don't like, or that overplayed an internal meeting, or the president said he wasn't yelling. But what to you is important substantively about both that report, the president's response, and what do you see as the outlook for 2020?
Well, first off, these stories, if you're working on a campaign, just drive you absolutely crazy. And you always come to this point, a campaign, you always know the demarcation line really between a winning campaign and a losing campaign. In a winning campaign, you can have more than four people in a room without the discussion leaking out to the front page of the Times or the Washington Post. Losing campaign, you can't do that. So I've been in the inner circle of a winning presidential campaign, George W. Bush, that never would have happened. Losing campaign, John McCain, unfortunately, happens all the time. So it's a mark of chaos in the organization. And with the political aides, and you imagine them approaching Trump like they're coming in to feed a king cobra or a tiger in the room, right? Like coming in trepidatiously, cautiously, right? Terrified, right? They have to deliver news to him, which is that he is traitorous.
Is he the tiger or is he the tiger king?
He is a little bit tiger, a little bit tiger king, right? He's in there, they're scared of him. They know he's going to go nuts when they tell him that his briefings aren't working, that people are looking at him and they're seeing a clown show. They're seeing a clinic of unfitness put on every night, and that's why he's behind in Joe Biden, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Florida. So someone had to go in and tell him the news, and obviously he went nuts about it, and I believe every word about that in the newspapers, and it just goes to show that behind the cameras, it's the same guy. The buck doesn't stop anywhere. He's not responsible for everything. It's the campaign manager's fault. It's the news media's fault. It's the Chinese fault. He's the biggest victim in America, but in America, we don't usually care to see our presidents playing the role of victim. They're supposed to look out for and protect the country, and he has so utterly failed in that duty. And I'd say, Ari, I think it bears mentioning that 45 years ago today is a moment of American humiliation. The image seared into our consciousness of the last helicopters lifting off of the roof of the embassy in Saigon, bringing an ignominious end to the Vietnam War. And today, we see a similar disgrace beamed out all across the country with armed hoodlums, paramilitary fetishists, festooned in tactical gear, occupying the Michigan State Capitol. This is dangerous in a democracy, but this extremism is what Trump has wrought after 3 years in power.
Well, you mentioned that. I actually had we'd seen online you've been talking about that. I'll read a little bit of context for your further analysis. You have Michigan State Senator Paul Ankey posting armed protesters outside the Capitol. Quote, directly above me, men with rifles yelling at us, some of my colleagues who own bulletproof vests wearing them. I've never appreciated our sergeant-at-arms more than today. Your view of this, Steve?
This is appalling. Somebody needs to explain to me what the difference between those guys and a bunch of brown-shirted stormtroopers in 1925 is. And I'm very serious about this. This isn't about the Second Amendment. This isn't about gun ownership. These are temples of democracy, these buildings, where we test the premise each generation whether we retain the capacity to govern ourselves. Free speech is important in this country. They're not protesters. When you show up in tactical gear carrying a tactical weapon, an AR-15, an M4, an AK-47, you're there to intimidate. You're assaulting the tenets of our system, which is a system that exists to preserve the rule of law, that's the oldest constitutional republic in the world. And we should not think for a second, as we're at the dawn of a new moment in history, that because extremism didn't rise in the United States in a way that was able to take over the country in the past, that it's not still here and it still doesn't pose a threat. Nobody should be comforted by those images, whether you're a Trump supporter, whether you're a Biden supporter, whether you're not going to vote at all. We don't do that in this country. That is an appalling image, and it makes us look like a basket case as they're beamed out around the world to our allies and to our enemies.
Yeah, it's a striking image. I will say there is, of course, a distinction anytime people are only speaking versus those who've taken up action or arms to do violence. But it is really striking, and I appreciate you raising it. I have literally 45 seconds, and for Steve Schmidt, that's not enough time. But I warn you, you only have 45 seconds. The last thing is, the president has backed away from the briefings. He did them for weeks. The measurements came out. He never spent any time with honoring, remembering, consoling the lost lives, for the most part, when the post counted up. Your view of that in the time we have left?
Well, we see somebody up there who, when you're confronted with death totals now that approach the total from the Vietnam War, but at the time were 40,000. He's up talking about his ratings, right? About that he does great compared to The Bachelor, compared to this reality show. It's just appalling. He just fundamentally lacks the capacity at the three dimensions you need to see a president operate in. He lacks it mentally, he lacks it intellectually, and he lacks it morally. What we're talking about here already is moral leadership, and he just has an incapacity for it. Can't do it. Has no chance of ever being able to do it because it's not how Donald Trump is wired.
Yeah.
And the American people are a lot worse off because of that.
As you say, moral leadership and scientific leadership are both under scrutiny here. Steve Schmidt, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
I mean, it can't be said any better than Stephen Smith.
No. And, you know, he pointed out something there that I would like to
He mentioned about your brown shirt friends.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. This is one of those dichotomies in the right that I just can't understand. I can't get my head around. You know, they get all mad and storm around every time there's a Democrat in office and everything. You know, I understand that they've become very, very partisan. And they lock her up. They like chant, stomp around, you know, okay. But now we have the very strange moment where they are so angry and threatened by government that they have taken to the streets in body armor with assault rifles and are storming into capitals in different states demanding that everything stop and government quit being a dictatorship, taking everything from them, when they are the government. It's the Trump administration.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
And it's the strangest thing, because they are still saying it's Democrats doing it, and yet the Trump administration has done it. The Trump administration has declared a state of emergency. The Trump administration is the government. He is the president. And I don't get it. I'm totally dumbfounded by this. It's like they are living in two different realities.
Well, you know, speaking about that they got this, you ever hear of Wallace, Devlin Barrett from the Washington Post? Well, listen here for a minute.
Devlin, take me through Judge Sullivan. Judge Sullivan has accused Michael Flynn of selling out his country. She has sought to have Mike Flynn affirm the guilty plea. It was pointed out to me by a former senior Justice Department official yesterday that as recently as the end of 2019, in his courtroom, he had Flynn confirm the guilty plea. What are the tools in front of Judge Sullivan right now?
Well, Judge Sullivan actually has a very interesting history for this situation, and that is that Judge Sullivan oversaw the case against former Senator Ted Stevens. And in that case, when it became clear that there were problems in the prosecution, Judge Sullivan appointed an amici, someone, an outsider, who essentially go back through all of what the Justice Department had done and report to him his findings. So there's nothing that necessarily rules that out in this case. I think it would be, in some ways, a more difficult thing to do in this case than the Ted Stevens case for a bunch of boring legal reasons. But I still think we have yet to hear from Judge Sullivan, and I think Judge Sullivan is particularly the kind of judge who is not just going to say, okay, fine, you don't care anymore, we'll all walk away. I suspect he would like more answers than are provided in that filing. But it could be a while till we see that. Remember, courts are essentially closed now. It may be some time before Judge Sullivan sort of brings this thing to a head in any way.
Now, this is what I wanted to say about this. You know, we got this guy, this so-called, you got to come up with a name with the fat boy at the Attorney General, the fat Attorney General. There has to be something. See, they think that if they do all these things, their little number of Republicans, the Progressive Party that got them in, that 77,000 is going to be enough if they're not dead already from the coronavirus, that's going to be enough to get them, all these people on their side, and chase Sullivan out of this country. Well, see, this man is in office longer than Trump. He's lifetime. And he ain't old. And the thing is that he said, look, I got several things I can do. I can go along with you guys because, hey, you guys dismissed it. You don't want, I don't even want to know why you dismissed it. Yet dismissed. Yeah, you're free. You can go about. You were never arrested. You don't have any mark on your career. Flynn, don't worry. Get out. Or I can call in every single prosecutor that resigned for this case and say, hey, what's going on? Why you guys resigned? Come in my chambers and tell me privately. Why you resigned? No, Attorney General, you can't come in here. These are my chambers. Well, why'd you guys resign? Or I can say, Flynn, don't worry. You're out. But I am not going to close the case. I'm going to tell you that we need to have some more information from the prosecutors. So until I get that information, we're just going to let this sit. Or one other thing. You know what? I have so much of a buildup of cases. I don't know when we're going to get back to start doing these cases. And I got important cases. Yours ain't the only one. We may not get to your case until February next year. But don't worry.
It also rhymes with new administration.
The new administration, I will make sure that this is focal point on their mind.
Well, here's a question for you, Mike. Now, this is a supposition that we win and that, the votes are actually counted, things like that. We actually win.
Yeah. Votes got to be
counted. We don't have, the second Civil War with all the Yahoos taking over the country because they lost. And there's a change of administration. Okay.
Yes.
Let's pretend that there's just, a Biden administration. Do you think there's a chance that they will be able to prosecute Barr, or is he just going to walk away and slink back into his, slime pit and, be like, oh, well, I tried, job well done, and just get away scot-free?
Well, you see, the thing is that will we have someone who's the next attorney general that calls in people who left and ask them why they left and say, he did what?
Well,
he did what?
Okay, so here's one of the questions I have, though. This is why it bothers me about, like Trump, he's committed a lot of crimes. I'm kind of already resigned to the fact that he probably won't ever be prosecuted for anything until he's president. We have this tradition in this country that we just don't want to ever tarnish our presidents, no matter what crimes they commit.
Well, now wait a minute. Go ahead.
Because, they can be, torturing people, they can commit crimes, whatever, and we let them walk away. We always do. Okay. So I imagine Trump will get away, there's a chance that New York can get him. But anyway, he'll get away. Anyway. But I'm worried. Okay, so with Barr, my question becomes, is it illegal what he's doing when he interferes with cases, when he suppresses data, like when he turned in the Mueller report with like every page blacked out and told the Congress to go jump when they said, no, we want the unredacted report. And he's like, nope. So they had to like try to do a case without any evidence, in it because it's all redacted. So he did things like that. He's fired, everybody that ever got in the way and everybody that ever said anything bad about Trump, he's shown the door and all. But are those actual crimes, or is it just too bad he's the attorney general, he can do anything he wants, including interfering cases and, all these other things? Do they rise to the point of crimes is what I'm saying. So can we actually prosecute him, or do we just have to go, hey, go home, boy?
You listen, you heard that a prosecutor or a special prosecutor or the attorney general can indict a grapefruit. Need
so
I
you're
say more?
Saying that history is written by the victor. Okay,
gotcha. Did I say that? Oh, yeah, I did say that.
Well,
history.
But see, here's the thing, and this is the reason I'm asking is because Democrats, to their, detriment, but the thing that's great about Democrats is that we actually follow the law. We actually care.
Now wait a minute.
About law and order. So when we go in, we're always handcuffed as to what we do because we follow the rules and regulations to the letter. Whereas when they go in, they just do whatever they want. President be damned.
Now wait a minute. See, I thought you were coming on my side, but you went right back to your old side again. Democrats don't prosecute. They want to be nicey, but. Just listen to Mr. Barr one more time.
As Donald Trump repeated over and over again, more will be coming out soon. The man carrying out Trump's revenge campaign against his own agency and the FBI, William Barr, spoke gleefully about the way history will document him.
When history looks back on this decision,
How do you think it will be written?
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
As he laughs gleefully.
Yeah.
As he laughs gleefully. Well, you know what? There's a woman in New York State named, well, let's put it this way. She's the highest ranking law enforcement person in New York State. And she said one thing: I was elected for one reason only, and that's to put Donald J. Trump in jail.
I like only them words.
Do you think that Donald J. Trump will bail out anybody who he thinks is below him, like fat boy with glasses, Attorney General Barr? He'll say, I never told him to do that. I don't know why he did that.
Well, here's the question, though. Can he give them all? Can he give all his members a pardon when he walks out the door at the end, like Bush did to a lot of his staff, so that they could be prosecuted and brought in?
No. You can't give a prosecution to someone that hasn't been brought up on trial.
Okay.
So none of them have been brought up on trial yet. Their trials is yet to come down the golden path. Their trials have just not appeared on the horizon yet.
Well, speaking of on the horizon, I'm just curious. Do you have a choice, a preference, or someone that you just kind of say, now this one would be good? Like, you know, the prosecutor from New York you're just talking about. But do you have somebody in mind that you think would be the best candidate for Attorney General come 2021?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
And
yes,
who would that
I
be?
Do. And that would be Ms. Harris.
Ah.
Because I think that she would eat him up. That's not, she's not chosen vice president.
As a VP.
But I think, that's right. I think as Attorney General, she would clean that place up.
So then that might be a reason to keep her off of the presidential ticket, just to have that power in the Attorney Generalship.
Now, you could also, you see, my choice, it's fluctuated between Attorney General and Vice President. I think, see, we got so many great lawyer women who are on this. I mean, we have
some powerful candidates.
We have Klobuchar. We have the young lady that ran for governor in Florida. We have, who else we have? We have, Elizabeth Warren. I think she would, Elizabeth Warren would just gleefully.
Elizabeth Warren would be incredible. She's just so detail oriented. She'd be a really interesting one to have in.
Detail oriented. Listen, was that the day, Mr. Barr, that you had your nails done at your favorite nail shop? At 12:37 p.m.?
Yeah. Well, I've got teen receipts and cameras. And
I have 15 witnesses to say,
well, I think,
you're in there.
Just because Biden is, you know, got old white man syndrome, I think that they will not choose Warren just because that would be limiting, even though she's a woman, to have her on the ticket. So I think they should do, you know, probably someone from Georgia that we know.
That very well could be.
But I would be interested in this is my, since we're talking fantasy football here, my fantasy football choice for there's a little seat that a little old woman who's been kind of ill this last season. She keeps going to the hospital. She's been worrying me a little bit, but you know the Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know that one.
Yes.
Well, the big bad. You know, if she retires, I dream about having the first president sit on the Supreme Court. What do you think about that?
The first president sit on the Supreme Court. Huh?
Do you think that would ever happen, or you think they would never nominate a president?
No.
Okay.
They would, but I don't think that they would elect him. He's too young, and I don't think he would want it because he got too much other stuff to do. No. And because you automatically sideline him. He can't get into politics anymore. He's finished. Fini.
Well, you know, you don't really want to do anything in politics after being the president. I mean, come on.
No. But you still want to go, you still want to do stuff for the people of the world. I mean, hey.
Oh, that's true.
Nominate him UN ambassador. In that case.
Mm.
Even then you're limited.
Yep.
Even then.
Well, I hadn't thought about limiting him, but I kind of relished the idea of having.
Our wonderful
Barry sitting on the Supreme Court for the next 9,000 years, just staring at the Republicans smiling. You know, that would just be that big smile. You know,
we'd still be down one. So we got to make sure that nobody gets the coronavirus on the Supreme Court. That's a Democrat, at least.
Yeah.
But
the irony here is, and this is again where the Democrats, you know, their goodness is a failing. But you know, the Republicans have this policy of when they don't like people, they shoot them in the face. They get rid of that crap. You know, but the Democrats, you know, we'll sit here and wring our hands and gnash our teeth and complain about, you know, Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh for the next 40 freaking years, because that's the way we are, because we're going, gosh darn it, he's got a lifetime appointment. Oh, jolly gee,
yes.
Willikers,
that's
what
right.
Can we do? You know,
but
they kind of take care of issues over there. So the Supreme Court is going to be a real big problem for a whole generation.
Oh, of course. Of course. But you see, we don't know how these people are going to vote with a Democratic president in there.
Hey, man, look, even with Trump, the master Trump stand in there, we just had, I think the heads are spinning when Kavanaugh voted with Roberts to preserve some fresh water in America. I couldn't believe it.
I didn't believe that either.
I looked at the news and said, Kavanaugh, what?
I
misunderstood. I had to rewind and watch it again.
Well, that was one of his, he was in one of his, that must have been one of his drinking phases. He must have been.
Beer doesn't taste good when it's been fracked, you know, and you can light it on fire, I guess.
Oh, right.
You know, those, you remember the Coors ad with the mountain stream running, you know, well, when it's coming out of a uranium mine or something, it doesn't taste quite as good.
It's not quite as good. It's not quite. This freaking outrage with Biden and this witch from 27 years ago that he first touched my shoulders, now he felt me up and grabbed me in a hallway when no one was looking.
Right.
I mean, give me a freaking break. Are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me?
The part that gets me, I mean, look, the Republicans are masters of smearing, and they always, they've gotten very good at smearing with whatever they're charged with. So if you notice, when Trump is charged with, Ukrainian malfeasance and Putin, you know, politics, he suddenly comes up with, well, your son was in the Ukraine. You're evil. You're the problem, you know. And when he's got 26 cases of, you know, rape charges against him, what does he do? Oh, well, let's find somebody. Here's the person, you know, who's changed their story three times, but that's okay.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, they're very good at smearing their opponents with what they're smeared with. So, and so it's interesting. My disappointment is that the press, as they proved with Hunter Biden, they had his name in the paper every single day. I saw Hunter Biden for 3 months in every TV show and news column when the Ukrainian story was going on. But you never, ever, ever, ever hear, you know, Trump Jr. or Kushner or any of the rest of them when they're all traipsing around the world getting sweetheart deals and trademarks and, you know, all these other things going on that are technically illegal. But I get mad at our press because we seem to really, really, you know, despite what they say about, you know, oh, the left press, you know, there's a very harsh bias in this country. So I've heard more about Biden's quote unquote sexual, you know, misadventure with this lady in the last month than I've heard in 3 years about any of Trump's cases. Can you name any of the 26 women? I mean, you know, but I see her name all the time in the press. So I'm kind of, it irritates me that that's happening.
Well, you know, remember, he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. He has to go for broke now because he will be broke when he gets out of here. He'll know what the real meaning of broke is when he's got to pay all these fees to defend himself.
Well, I'm kind of worried. Like
jail.
I have to tell you, when we have, you know, we had Putin run a successful media campaign, for 2016.
I hate to interrupt you, but there's breaking news now that the accuser of Biden is now calling him to drop out of the race. If you're looking at this woman now, there's no way Biden, that's not his type.
Listen to you.
She's not his type. She's not his type. She's the fat boy's type, but she's not his type.
Well, she's kind of like another news item I saw of interest last week. A lady who was filed to run against AOC, you know, our superstar in the Democratic Party,
right.
AOC.
Right.
You know, she's from New York, right? And AOC's, you know, a lady from the neighborhood. She knows everybody, worked there, you know, the famous, you're a bartender, you know, that smear against her. You know, she's a working class girl.
Right.
Well, this lady that's filed to run against her in her campaign is a...
Is she a Democrat?
Old Trump. No, she filed as a Democrat, but she's a lifetime Republican who's not only a lifetime Republican, but she's a lifetime friend of the family of the Trumps. And for the last, like, 9 years, I think it was, 9 years, 12 years, something like that, she's lived in Trump Tower. Okay? And then she just filed with an apartment she bought this month in the Bronx and said, oh, I'm a local girl. I'm a Democrat. But see, this is the way they roll, and then there's going to be somebody somewhere who's going to be, yep, I'll vote for her. That's a Democrat. Yep, there's his D right there on it. Yeah. The reality's got nothing to do with it.
So I just want to know, why is this woman, one accuser, calling for Trump, for Biden to stop when he had 25 accusers?
That's what I'm saying.
Trump to stop. They didn't say, hey, we didn't tell you what he did.
But that's what I'm also saying. I was getting very angry with is because we're hearing, just like now, we're having this conversation here. Every single day we're hearing about Biden's accuser, Biden's accused, Biden's sexual predator, Biden's touching people. Every day you hear it in the press. you don't ever hear about the guy who literally bragged about grabbing women. A guy who literally was caught illegally paying a porn star and then lying about it. Elected president.
He only got
up for it, had to go to prison for it. And yet he got off only because he's president and he can't put a president in prison.
Trump only got spanked. He didn't do anything else. He went in there to get spanked because, he got in it because there was a fly on his ass. She was knocking the fly off.
It does make me very angry.
He didn't have any pants on at the time.
Don't hear that first. You know, but we hear about Biden and this girl. You know. It's kind of aggravating.
He just didn't have any pants on when this went to knock the fly off his butt.
Stormy Daniels. That's the name for him.
The
woman who was literally hired because she looks like freaking Ivanka. I mean, it's just so creepy. It's not even funny.
Well, hey. There is so many. There's so many things in life. I can't remember this. It's funny about this saying. I can't remember it. It's so fat. Boy, she looks like hell. I'm looking at her picture right now on TV. Now, she was not bad looking when she was young, but she got fat.
So you're saying she's not a millionaire porn star? Is that what you're saying?
Not even close.
She hadn't had kidney surgery like the first lady? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she must have been on her face because kidney surgery.
You know, when you
face.
Have your. I've always kind of wanted that, Michael, that, you know, when you have those face surgery, when you're really old and you just staple your face back behind the back of your head and you end up looking like an alien. You see that with those cat eyes? They're stretched back to your ears.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I always wanted that X-Files look.
The X-Files look. Oh, man. Oh, man. The X-Files look. I haven't heard that in a long time. You're right about that.
Remember that good old show?
I had a dog that was named Fox Mulder. What can I say?
That's true.
I had a big old
dog. The man with the poster
Fox
on the wall. I want to believe.
That's right. I want to believe. But as Captain Kirk says, your superior intellect. I just love it.
I'm laughing.
I just like that superior intellect. I mean, it's just so enlightening that we have to be able to see some people that what's the name of that guy again? The poster boy for the Republican Party. What was his name? What was his name? Oh gosh, I can't think of his name.
You mean Rafael Cruz? That one?
No, not that one. Not Rafael. No, not Rafael. The one who was the father of the conservative movement. What was his name? He says he doesn't believe that everybody should have the right to vote. Everybody, because everybody should not have the right to vote.
Hey, they're doing a good job with that. Voter suppression's on full tilt, man. They're going at it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
they've got they're pulling out the Trump ace this time because, you know, it's one thing to remove some people from the rolls in Georgia and, you know, laugh about it, but it's another thing to take out the entire Postal Service of the United States of America just so people can't vote by mail. That's a masterstroke, I have to tell you.
The reason is, he don't care about people voting as much as he care about taking out Jeff Bezos, because Jeff Bezos owns Amazon, which the Washington Post gave like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of million dollars worth of contracts with. He wants to kill Jeff Bezos. He said, "Why should Jeff Bezos get a better deal than FedEx and UPS?" Well, the thing is, because UPS and FedEx don't deliver everywhere. What don't you know about that? They don't deliver everywhere. They're not going to come way out in the country where some of you bumpkins live and deliver you no damn package. They don't do it.
They only do it in the urban centers, and their base price for delivery is five times the Postal Service. So even the... Even what you get is more expensive.
That's right. And you remember what Paul Ryan said?
I don't think we should pass bills that we haven't read, that we don't know what they cost.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Now, I'm looking at these two mongrels that shot, that hung this, did a high-tech lynching on this black man in Atlanta. And I'm telling you what, you can't tell who's the father, who's the son.
Yeah, I saw their picture, and I thought it was funny because you could see that
the father
went and got his beard dyed white so that he can tell which one's him. You know, but they look the same. Yeah, it's pretty fun. And to your point, I was reading that article a while ago, and the son is like what, 30 or something like that. You know, why is he not a cop still? So what happened there?
That's right. What happened there? That's what I would like to know. What happened there? That's what I would like to know.
I mean, it could have been, you know, using your squad car to run down joggers. And, you know, that might have been the issue. I don't know.
Has this happened before?
Maybe he had a previous history, as I say.
A previous history? You think? A previous, it might have, you know. Well, Trump wants to make this like a Game of Thrones.
He wants to make it like Game of Thrones.
You know, we're here in the White Mountains with the White House, and we can't have. We can't have those
people in the blue house and the blue mountains.
Don't even eat with gold forks like we do.
Yeah.
We eat with gold forks. There's no reason.
You do realize, don't you, Mike, that for the last 3 years, all of these tweets that we get all night long, you know, the 3 o'clock tweet, you know, and everything. Everybody's always astounded by, and the morning news is going, I can't believe the president said that. You realize that all of those are coming from his golden toilet seat, right?
Oh, right.
After all that long day of hamburgers, you know, I'm just saying.
And all that greasy Bojangles, it got to make you go to the bathroom. I'm sure it makes you go all night.
Did you see that article about why he eats that?
Afraid to get poison, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they said in the article. He is deathly afraid. They said one of his biographers or something said he's deathly afraid of being poisoned. And he eats at fast food places so that nobody can poison his food. And he's done it for years since he was, for the last 20 or 30 years, he's only eaten fast food places because for some reason he was convinced that people were trying to poison him back when he was in New York. So
are you kidding me, really? Holy cow. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah, that's why he only gets to take a little trusting bite.
Unbelievable.
But, you know, it might be a side effect of being the little minion of Mr. Polonium Kool-Aid himself, you know, the master of poisoning Putin.
He's poisoned so many other people. I guess that's the reason why he's afraid to get back.
Well, you know, he might literally be going sweating that if he doesn't, you know, he missed a payment or something, doesn't do the right thing, he's going to end up with some baloney.
Yeah.
I mean, he might know.
Putin needs him for all his riches that he can give Putin, because that country is still that country blind, and he needs to launder his money. So wait till they find out when the Attorney General of New York State finds out who are the people that own all those apartments on Fifth Avenue, and none of them are in residence.
Right.
Because it's a washout. Well, it's been nice. It's been nice. It's been nice this evening.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Game of Thrones. This is how it's going to be. There'll be coming a big mountain around the garden. Yes, this is November. Before November. I guarantee you, he will be in the line. What? By
it's
October.
Kinda like
what?
It is kind of like a big medieval fantasy, because we've got the king in the high mountain, and we've got the plague sweeping the land.
Hey, that's right.
Straight out of the Middle Ages.
How coincidental. Well, you have a great weekend. Tell everybody to stay healthy and stay out of the wear gloves, wear a mask.
Well, remember,
make
sure to use lots of alcohol.
Lots of alcohol. Bathe in it. And don't forget, don't shoot the alcohol up.
Take care, Mike.
I'll see you.